Leviticus chapter 25. This is about the Sabbath year and the year of Jubilee. When you come into the land which I give you, then the land shall keep a Sabbath to Yahweh. 6 years you shall sow your field, and 6 years prune your vineyard, and gather in its fruit, but in the seventh year there shall be a Sabbath of solemn rest for the land. You shall not sow your field. What grows of itself in your harvest you shall not reap, and the grapes of your undressed vine you shall not gather. It shall be a year of rest. The Sabbath of the land shall be for food for you, for yourself, for your servant, and for the stranger who lives among you, and for your animals as well, that shall all its increase be for food. So they were to trust in God, that he would feed them once every 7 years. Now, of course, if they were obedient to the covenant, they would be given abundant harvests. That's what they were promised. So it would be quite easy to store up the food and have a year's food to eat, no problem. They were to rest the land. Now, this kind of thing, having a whole year off from your sort of business activity, as it were, as most people were farmers, this was quite unheard of in the world around them. The idea, of course, was then as it is now. Work, 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 grab as much as you can. God wanted to give them another spirit and to have another spirit in them whereby you didn't just grab all you could to get maximum income, maximum profit. This is the way of the world, but God wanted to teach them another way. And then every 49 years, there was to be another Sabbath year. So that was a big test, because they would keep the seventh Sabbath year, which they were supposed to every seventh year not plant their land, and every 49th year they were to have another year where they left it fallow. So that was 2 years in a row. Then you shall sound the loud trumpet on the 10th day of the 7th month, on the Day of Atonement. And you shall make the 50th year holy, and proclaim liberty throughout the land to all its inhabitants. Each one of you shall return to his own property. So then, that sounding of the trumpet and announcing that there is liberty proclaimed, that's the idea when Jesus begins his ministry, and we're told proclaimed liberty to people. And they were to do this every 50th year. And everybody went back to their own inheritance, and all debts were forgiven. And that's the good news that we have to people today. We are announcing Jubilee. And there's a lot of allusions to the Jubilee, particularly in Luke's Gospel. We are to announce that Jubilee, that you're forgiven, that it's okay. All the debt of sin that you've notched up over the years is now absolutely forgiven. Well, it was a big challenge to believe that God would provide them with food for 2 years. But, as I say, if they were obedient to the covenant, they were promised bumper harvests. And they would have had enough. But it was a test of faith, just as God brings regular situations into our lives where we can't get out of them in our own strength. We have to trust in him. According to the number of years after the Jubilee, you shall buy from your neighbour. According to the length of the years, you shall increase its price, and according to the shortness of the years, you shall diminish its price. So, if you bought a property, you could only have it for a maximum of 49 years because you knew that it was going to go back into the hands of its original owner. And this was good because there was no private ownership of property achieved by money. You were given the inheritance, that they were each given an inheritance when they had entered the land, and that was it. And they were to accept that, and the most you could do was to sell it for 49 years, and then it would go back to you. So then, we likewise should have this same perspective, because the ultimate year of Jubilee is when Jesus comes back. And we should calculate everything in the light of that. That, okay, maybe it is cheaper to buy a property than rent a property, okay. it is mine, but only for so long. People say, oh, that's yours forever. Well, no, it's like the fairy tales that end and they lived happily ever after. Well, I always used to add to my children, they all lived happily ever after until they died. Because we do not own property forever. And all these material things are only very temporary.
The land shall not be sold permanently, for the land is mine, and you live as foreigners with me. That's what I want to remember, that although they had their own inheritances, the land was God's. And they were living in it on a sort of a permanent leasehold, as it were, and they were therefore only able to sell it for a maximum of 49 years, like renting it out here. If your brother becomes poor and sells some of his possessions, then his kinsman who is next to him shall come and redeem what his brother has sold. If he has no one to redeem it and he becomes prosperous, then let him reckon the years since its sale. And restore the surplus to the land for whom he sold it. If he isn't able to get it back for himself, then what he has sold will remain in the hand of him who bought it until the year of Jubilee. In the year of Jubilee, he should be released and he should return to his possession. So you see there that the idea was that each of them had been given their own unique possession within the kingdom of God in Israel. And it was really important to not lose that, to not give it to someone else. And even if you were poor, crises happened and you had to sell it, you could only sell it for a limited period of time. You think of Naboth, where Ahab wanted to buy Naboth's vineyard, and Naboth said, no, I can sell this to you, this is my inheritance. And it just shows that God intended that every family had their own unique inheritance. There's a lot said in the New Testament about our inheritance. And we each have likewise our own personal inheritance prepared to us in God's kingdom. Some specific work to do, some specific sort of nature and way of being for every another. Jesus in his parable talks about those who will be in his kingdom. One has five cities, one has two cities. Referring back maybe to this kind of thing. But if a man sells a dwelling house in a walled city, he can redeem it within a year after he's sold it. If it isn't redeemed, then it will be made sure to the person who bought it. It shall not be released in the Jubilee. So in addition to the land inheritance that they got from God, there was the possibility of them owning houses in walled cities, and this legislation didn't apply to that. I think the idea was that God's intention was that maybe they didn't live in cities, but that they focused upon the inheritance that he had given them in the countryside, wherever that was. If your brother has become poor, and his hand can't support him among you, then you shall uphold him. He shall live with you like an alien and a temporary resident. Take no interest from him or profit, but fear your God, that your brother may live among you. Don't lend him your money at interest, nor give him your food for profit. I am Yahweh your God, who brought you forth out of the land of Egypt to give you the land of Canaan. So God is very sensitive to how we treat the poor, because we also were poor in his sight. And he raised us up. He took us out of Egypt, out of the world, through the waters of baptism as they went through the Red Sea, to give us an inheritance in his kingdom. And that should mean that we are generous to those who are literally poor, who are physically poor. As God has been generous to us in our spiritual poverty, this is the way we say thank you. So any meanness, any refusal to help the poor, I think is really saying, I do not accept what you did for me. All the time they were to remember their beginnings. That you are my servants whom I brought out of the land of Egypt. They shall not be sold as slaves. You shall not rule over him with harshness, but shall fear your God. In other words, you shall not treat people as slaves or as if you are a taskmaster over them, because that's what happened to you in Egypt.
We need to remember our spiritual beginnings. We need to remember the poverty of where we came from. And as Peter says, the problem is people forget that they were purged from past sins. And because people forget their poor beginnings, spiritually and perhaps otherwise, they therefore, unfortunately, become proud and they lose a heart of compassion for those who are poor, in whatever sense that may be. And by all means, the emphasis of the law here is that the brother who was poor, his brothers, his relatives, should try to redeem him and try by all means to redeem the property that he might have temporarily sold off in his poverty. Try to redeem others. And why? Well, obviously because you were redeemed from slavery and from poverty by God out of Egypt.